5th of June, 2003, approximately 3:30 p.m. Interviewers are Mike Russert and Wayne Clark. Could you give me your full name, date of birth, and place of birth, please?
Morton Akron, A-C-H-I-R-O-N. Date of birth is 9/26/25. Date of place of birth is New York City.
Okay. What was your educational background prior to entering service?
High school.
Okay. Do you remember where you were and your reaction when you heard about Pearl Harbor?
Yes, I was about 12 years old, I believe. I was at a theater, and they mentioned Pearl Harbor had been bombed. I couldn't imagine where Pearl Harbor was. And we all found out later on. Uh-huh. And my thoughts were then, I wanted to be in service, but I was kind of young for that. Uh-huh. I was hoping to keep the war going so I'd go to get in there and clean it up, you know.
Uh-huh. Now, you went into the Marine Corps. Did you enlist or did you...
Well, the Marine Corps, I don't think they take draftees. Uh-huh, so they had it is inducted, discharged, and enlisted. So it's technicality, I guess.
Yes, okay. So did you pick the Marine Corps? Or
yes, I asked
why did you...
Well, at that age, you're kind of bloodthirsty.
Okay. Where did you have your induction?
New York, I think Grand Central Palace. No, there was an induction mm-hmm. center there.
Mm-hmm. And where did you go for your basic training?
Paris Island, South okay. Carolina.
Could you tell us about your basic training, how long and what...
Well, it was at that time...
Call.
It was about 8 weeks, I think. It was cut short because they wanted to get you in and over pretty fast. So,
do you recall some of the things you did or some incidences while you were there?
No, but it didn't take long before I found out the enemy wasn't the Japs, it was the DIs.
Okay. Now, was this... How old were you when you went in?
I was... A week before I finished high school, and they gave you like a 2-week furlough, so it was actually a week out of high school before I went in. No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You ended up as in the artillery as a forward observer. What basic training or extra training did you receive?
Well, I went to radio school, mm-hmm. and when we went overseas, I was in a 28th replacement draft. I wasn't assigned to anybody, so I don't know if the Army is the same as the Marine Corps, but there's a fierce loyalty to your comrades. But when you went over there as a replacement, you didn't know anybody. Mm-hmm. And so after Iwo Jima, that we went back to Guam, and then it was my regular outfit then. So, I mean, the loyalty started then, actually, mm-hmm. because... It's like a steno pool. When you're on the beach, they need some radio operators, and you go there, you go there. So, I mean, didn't really know anybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay, did you go in on the first wave, or...?
No, the 3rd Division was a floating reserve for the 4th and 5th Divisions. Mm-hmm. And D+4, I guess, they get called in.
Okay, so you went in D4?
About that, yeah.
Okay, what do you recall of the were you there for the bombardment?
Well...
From that.
Saw from the ship the shelling of the beaches. And
mm-hmm. Did you watch from the deck?
Oh, yeah.
Could you tell us your reactions to that or any...
I was surprised to see these battleships unloading, that the impact turned them sideways a little bit, just pushed them back. But, I mean, mm-hmm. later on we found out it wasn't doing a heck of a lot of good.
Okay. Did you see the flag raising at all, or...
No, not from the shore, from the ship we saw the flag up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, why don't you tell when you went ashore and what happened to you? Just tell your story.
Well, went ashore and there was lots of debris around. I recall seeing one hand sticking out of the beach. I don't know whose hand it was. Mm-hmm. Hope it was Japanese, but I guess they kind of bulldozed some of the stuff out of the way after a while, but... And then they come down looking for radio operators or artillerymen or flamethrower people, you know. And kind of, like I say, you're like a steno pool. You go there, you go there, you mm-hmm. know.
Where were you assigned?
12th Regiment. There was an artillery battery. It's a forward observer, which means you're kind of directing fire on where they tell you to direct it.
Okay, could you just tell us your experiences or some of your experiences?
Well, there's times you shot at the enemy when they come out, but you weren't the only one shooting, so you kind of hope your shot counted, but you never really know.
What kind of sidearm did you carry, or weapon did you carry?
Just M1. That was standard stuff.
Where did you go at Iwo Jima? I know.
Where could you go?
What were some of the actions there that you were involved in?
Well, I don't know. At that time, it didn't have names for it, but my outfit supported the 21st Marines, you know, regimental combat team. Mm-hmm. And you went where they went. So they had two full observer posts with each regiment. And I was Professor Easy 9-3.
Could you explain what you did as a forward observer?
Well, you kind of have an officer there, and he kind of directs the fire because they have graphs and plots where they want to have the fire. You just kind of repeat what he was saying, more or less. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I got back to Guam that I learned what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. So you basically was on-job training?
More or less, yeah.
Okay. How long were you on Iwo Jima?
Oh, got there about D plus 4, and I left, March 26th, it was counted as secured. But it was there a week or so, 2 weeks after that went back to Guam.
And what did you do at Guam?
Further training, field exercises. Showed me what I was supposed to be doing.
Okay, well, did you see any other combat?
No, not just Iwo.
Mm-hmm. What were you training for? Invasion of Japan, or?
Yes, but when the war was over?
Well, when you went to Guam.
Oh, well,
wasn't over yet, was it?
No, you never knew when the next invasion was. But I was on Guam when President Roosevelt died.
What was your reaction to that?
I didn't know who the vice president was. Mm-hmm. And we were there when. I guess they dropped the first A-bomb, the second one in Japan.
What was your reaction to that?
Well, I thought it would expedite the war, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. In fact, when the war was over, they start teaching us Japanese, a few of the basic words, and then they promptly sent us to China.
Now, what did you do in China?
Just guard duty, more or less, no.
Mm-hmm. Now, where were you in China?
Tenzin. Mm-hmm. At that time, the 3rd Division broke up and joined the 1st Division in China.
So your duty was basically
radio operator.
Radio operator.
Right.
Okay. Can you tell us any little anecdotes or anything that you had happen?
We were in China.
In China or Iwo Jima?
No, it's kind of after Guam. China was kind of like at least there was civilians around, there was stores around, there was things, acclimated to civilian life again, more or less. But in Tientsin, China was like an international city. They had a Russian section, and a French section, an Italian section. I mean, I know there's a lot of Italian Marines that were stranded there. They didn't have the wherewithal to get home, and so they were kind of stranded there. But it was a good place to go from the islands back home.
Mm-hmm. When were your ship back home?
I got discharged on Mother's Day in 46.
Okay, how did you get back home?
Ship, actually.
Yes, okay. Where were you discharged?
We landed in San Diego. I was discharged in Bainbridge, Maryland.
Okay. Did you ever have any USO shows? Did you ever see any USO shows at all?
No.
How do you think your military service affected your life?
When you look back, it took some of the prime years away, but I was too young to really care about it then. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, at my age, I felt sorry for the older guys. The guys around 30, the old timers.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when they were used to drinking when they wanted, they were used to women when they wanted, they were used to a lot of things. And I was fresh out of high school, so I was used to taking orders either from parents or from my boss or from teachers or something. Mm-hmm. So it didn't faze me too much as far as, I didn't think I was giving anything up because I wasn't a drinker, I wasn't a, no, I wasn't a wanderer then. Mm-hmm. Not by long.
Did you ever make use of the GI Bill?
I got a job at the Arsenal. I don't know if that helped, but not as far as formal schooling. I was an apprentice over there, machinist, and then I got to be journeyman, and then you started looking for different jobs. I ended up being an inspector, which I retired from the Arsenal.
Did you ever make use of their 5220 club?
For a few weeks. It got to be more degrading than helpful. No, it's, you go there, you feel like you're a real do-nothing and happy about it.
Uh-huh. Did you ever keep in touch with anyone you served with?
No, I was still pretty young then. Didn't have any transportation. And if somebody lived on the other side of the state, I'd have no way of knowing how the heck to keep in touch with them. Mm-hmm. I did contact one of my friends from boot camp that got killed. So his mother, he lived in Rye, and for a while, a couple of guys came back, and we all went to visit the parents. But that's about it, you know. Most of the people I know that got killed were not local. Mm-hmm.
Did you join, have you joined any veterans organizations?
I joined the JWV. I was looking to the 3rd Division, and I ran across a guy that belonged to it. He gave me a book of all the 3rd Division people who belonged to it, and I looked through the whole book and I didn't recognize anybody because it was getting to be kind of all Korean and Vietnam vets and all that kind of, so I didn't know anybody there.
Are you still active with the Jewish War Vets?
Or? No, I don't do a heck of a lot. I go to meetings, but I mean, it's most of these outfits that I've seen in the past, if you volunteer to do something, you know, why don't we do this? You're a committee of one, no. And pick 6 guys, and there aren't 6 guys around, so I learned to keep my mouth shut.
How did you end up being from New York City, end up here at the Arsenal?
Well, I married a girl, the same apartment house I lived in New York City, and her sister lived up in Schenectady, so we got to visit them once in a while. I know life in New York City was kind of pre-planned. I mean, get married, you live in an apartment, you women walk up and down a block with the carriages when they had children, and it seemed to be just everything was planned out for you. At that time, New York wasn't too bad yet, no. Mm-hmm. But it was just kind of routine, mm-hmm. cookie cutter type of life, you know.
How long did you work in the Arsenal?
About 25 years. Well, 27 counting, they give you military mm-hmm. no, time.
Did you see a lot of changes there while you were there?
We were in the Arsenal?
Yes.
Well, there's always changes, mm-hmm. but I mean, it was always threats of layoffs and stuff like that, but I'm surprised it's at the stage it is now, because you know, I have a high regard for the Arsenal. I think they're very skilled people working there. And at that time, and still is probably, the only government-run gun manufacturing, mm-hmm. and I hate to think we're getting our shoes from Italy, we're getting our radio stuff from Japan, we got our stuff from Germany. I mean, if you want to have a war, you have to be careful who you fight with mm-hmm. because they supply the weaponry. Yeah. So I'd like to see this country more kind of self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But who am I?
Okay, well, thank you for your interview. Oh, there's one thing I wanted to
oh, yes.
tell us about that.
That was taken on Guam. It was about a Christmas present from the 3rd Division. They took everybody's picture and to send home. Mm-hmm. And that was me as a mere youth.
Now, how old were you when that was taken?
See, that was, must have been December of 45. Yeah, about December 45. So it was about 20. Mm-hmm. Killer. Can you tell by looking?
Okay, thank you.
All right, well, thank you very much.
All right, gentlemen.